Welcome to the GGB Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Eric Person, the president and COO of Aruze Gaming, about his company's rapid rise in the slot manufacturer's segment of the industry. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. Eric Person took over as general manager of Aruze Gaming in March and was promoted to president and COO in October. Person has a long career on the operations side of the industry, most recently as the corporate vice president of slot operations for Las Vegas Sands. He takes over a company that has posted impressive gains over the past year. He talks candidly about the legal situation of the company owner, Kazuo Okada, as he works through some of the difficulties with the parent company, Universal Entertainment, in Japan. He spoke with me and editor Frank Legato at last month's Global Gaming Expo. Eric Person, thanks for joining us on the GGP Podcast today. Good to see you here. First day of G2E. We appreciate you taking the time. You're usually pretty busy these days, so it's nice to see you here. We're here with Frank Legato. Frank's going to ask the questions, and hopefully we'll hit all the high points for you.
Sounds great.
Eric, you came to Aruze from a career in casino operations, most recently with Las Vegas Sands. How did that experience help you approach the job at Aruze?
The truth is, when I knew I was going to leave Las Vegas Sands, the only company I came and talked to was talking to Aruze, and they're exactly the company I wanted to go to. And it has a lot to do with the fact that my career has been spent mainly working with very successful businessmen. You know, Michael Gaughan is a legend, obviously, in this industry. Sheldon Adelson is clearly as well. I worked for another very successful person, Jeremy Jacobs, at Delaware North. And so, you know, coming to a company that's very entrepreneurial by nature with a true owner like Mr. Okada, and the reason is I thought that I'd be able to affect the most change quickly by coming to an organization that had an individual owner that would allow some entrepreneurial freedom. And that's exactly what it's been at Aruze. And so what I hope to accomplish and what I'm trying to do for all of our customers and really for the manufacturing industry is take all the things that were hidden disruptors for me as one of the largest buyers in the world at Las Vegas Sands, and the things that I didn't like about buying slot product, and then solve those customers' needs, because they weren't just my issues, they're many customers' issues. And so, for example, I never liked it when, you know, I buy hardware and then the game didn't work and they want me to purchase a conversion. So one of the first things we announced was a 2-year performance guarantee. So if your product's doing 80% or less of floor average the first 2 years, we're going to give you conversion. We're going to make sure it performs. And that doesn't happen with any other manufacturer. And the second thing we announced at G2E this week is that anytime you buy our hardware, you're going to guarantee that you're going to have a 6-year support cycle. Both your hardware is going to have software titles, parts, and replacements, so it won't be obsoleted for at least 6 years. No one else is going to talk about that. You know, it's also frustrating when the larger manufacturers, and I understand they have a huge recurring revenue base, they don't want to sell wheels, they don't want to sell multi-level progressives. We are. And so in a lot of ways, it's probably disruptive, but for us, it's just a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, when you first instituted the 2-year guarantee, it was specifically for the APX platform. Has that been modified or expanded?
Well, it's APX and going forward. So really, it just meant that the older cabinets that are at the end of their life cycle, we couldn't offer that because we weren't creating software titles for it. So really, just it was a line in the sand. It was APX and newer. Mm-hmm. So it's every cabinet going forward.
Okay. From your first 6 months as GM of Aruze, what are the main lessons you've taken and that will help you point the right direction forward?
You know, one of the big things that I had that I wanted to start moving our company towards was getting back towards being focused on ETGs, because it's a space that we're incredibly successful in historically. We got in the way. We started to compete more in the video space, and I understand why, because it's appealing. It's easy to create software tiles. But the truth is it's a highly, highly competitive market. We're never going to outspend our competitors. But from an ETG standpoint, a lot of times we're alone in our space. And so if you go up to our booth this week, you're going to see our craps table, which solves a huge customer need, because at the end of the day, it's a real craps table. You're playing craps. You're throwing dice. It takes 1/4 the labor a traditional craps table takes. Many more rolls per hour. Paying take sequence never has dealer error. There is no theft. And also, when you normally would shut down the table for graveyard, it has an autoplay mode where you're able to throw virtual dice and still continue to play. And so, to me, that is going to be something I'm super excited about, is getting back in that ETG space.
Now, but the ETG, you've taken on an effort to modernize all your ETG. The Shoot to Win Craps here at the Venetian, it's been popular. Are you replacing that product and renewing that whole line?
Yeah, when you go upstairs today, you're going to see we have a new roulette wheel, which uses technology called projection mapping, DLP projection mapping. And what it does is it takes a traditional wheel and has a real ball. The ball spins around, so it's an actual roulette wheel, but it has a lot of projection mapping technology involved. So it's integrated into the gameplay. So a lot of fun things happen. Like you can see the trends of what numbers have been coming up just by eyeballing the board. When the number comes out, it's going to read the number to you. It has a meteor. When the ball's swinging around, it looks like a meteor is falling. So it's just a lot of fun, and we think that translates into a lot of excitement for our customers. Same thing with our Big Six wheel. We've updated that as well. So, and the good news is for the roulette, it never made it to Nevada, and it's going to be coming to North America, whereas our previous version of roulette was an Asian-only product. So, all of our ETG product is something that we're super excited about, not just for this G2E, but the go-forward. We've got a lot of stuff we're working on for the future as well.
And how much collaboration is there on a product like that between Las Vegas and Japan?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to answer that question a little bit differently. First of all, there's a huge amount of collaboration because Fujisawa runs our development. He's out of Japan. But when we came out and we built our new craps table that actually allows the customer to throw dice but automates the process, another step we took that I think that manufacturers will learn quickly from by copying me is we went out to Caesars Entertainment and we said, hey, we're going to build this product we think solves a huge labor need. And I think it's really important. As long as you focus on solving a customer's problem, then what happens is you're going to probably be pretty successful. And we said, you know, we're going to build this craft table. We'd like you to be involved in the development process all the way through gameplay, the rolling pattern, the visual display, side bets, progressives, the way you interact with the ETG monitor. And so they're actually going to be coming with us to Japan. They're involved from start to finish. And so what we're hoping is that we're going to end up building a customer that we know that all the operators are going to want, you know, a product that everybody would want. And so not only do we involve our game developers, because we couldn't do it without them, we involve our operators as well, who are our partners.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Now, 6 months, was it difficult to prepare for your first G2E show? What were your priorities? I imagine you relied a lot on your team.
Well, for me, you know, I've been going to these G2E for a long time, 15 years plus, and what was important to me was that the essence of what we're trying to accomplish was shown in this show. And that's why it's important that we got our new craps table to market. That's why it's important that we had our new projection mapping roulette wheel there. And so customers can come see a booth that I think is revitalized. I think that this is one of the best shows that Ruse is going to have in a long time. And so it wasn't so much the pressure on me. The pressure was on our R&D team. Mm-hmm. And Fujisawa delivered, and we got some great stuff upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the single-player front, what developments are in the CubeX family? Is that expanding?
Yeah. So where we're focusing on CubeX is because, you know, there's over $1 billion spent R&D every year in the video space. And where we think that we can be somewhat disruptive and be very successful is you're going to see, when you go upstairs, a huge strategy shift towards multi-level progressives that are for sale to our customers. That would typically be 80-20 rev share with most manufacturers. And so when you go upstairs, you're going to see two things. You're going to see wheels for sale, whether they're virtual or physical, and you're going to see multi-level progressives for sale. And we think we're going to have a lot of success going to customers and saying, hey, we can help you reduce your daily fees, and we have product that will perform just as well. You buy it from us once. And on top of it, even if it doesn't work, I'm going to give you more multi-level progressive software for the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it should give customers a lot of confidence.
And I see you've got a giant format, 80-inch monitor up there,
yeah,
too. But
we have the vertical 40, the vertical 80, and the 80 is doing fantastic, 3 to 4 times floor average all over. And it's using iterations of wheels, basically, and multi-level progressives. Mm. And it's one of these things where it's a constant fight with the operator. And I come from the operations side where even I wanted, you know, big, bright, fun signs. And and people who are property presidents often want lower, you know, profile games. But at the end of the day, you know, I was talking to the Bellagio group, and it, you know, it's one of these things where we're rewarded through purchases, and customers vote with their wallets, and they play the type of product they want to play. And, you know, we're agnostic in terms of box type, in terms of height and profile, but at the end of the day, we're trying to sell as much as we can. So the challenge is that the product that's doing the best for us, literally, is the Vertical 80. It's the tallest game, and that creates this natural conflict, not with the slot operator, because he loves it, but typically the property president, the GMs, are going to say, you know, I love my sight lines as well. And once with Mr. Adelson, it was a constant battle.
Yeah. What about themes and licensed brands? Aruze has never been big on that. Is there any talk about looking into that strategy at all?
There is, and it's one of these things where I can't talk about specifics now because I don't have the deals done. But I would expect in 2018 we'll probably have three major partnerships that we'll be announcing.
You know, you're coming from the operations side when you instituted this guarantee. Kind of shook the industry up. They were saying, well, who is this guy coming in here and offering us? Now one of the other companies has done the same thing. So is this something you want to be with Aruze? You want to be an industry leader and not a follower?
I want to be disruptive.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. I came here because I thought this would be the most amount of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm blessed with my life. It's not about economics, although I love getting paid. But what I really love is competing. And I felt like this is an industry we could compete in. We could compete really hard. I got with the right company. And when you're small and you're not tied to certain economic strategies, you can just be do so much more.
Right.
And so what you're going to see, I think a lot of people copy this. In many ways, I'm following the T-Mobile strategy.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot I already have with the real product, the backlit real, you know, illuminated motion reels, those kinds of things.
That was the fun stuff. You know, that's why I knew that Aruze was going to come to, because Mr. Okada, the innovator reel, was copied by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was, look, even the near miss, which he got, had an issue with game control board a long time ago, is now the industry standard everywhere. You know, I knew that he was the right fit for me. His company was the right fit for me.
Now you've got some controversy with the parent company and Mr. Okada. Is that a distraction for you?
No, you know, at the end of the day, what you have is a company that is vibrant, that is very successful, and we have a shareholder, Mr. Okada, who's having issues. A lot of them are family issues.
Right.
He's lost control of his trust, and although I think he's taken a lot of steps that he should be regaining control of his trust formally over the next month. But, you know, it's just, for me, I've been working with individuals who, it's just, these are just business things we have to solve.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you have to separate Aruze from the shareholder.
Right.
And Mr. Okada, you know, I believe he's going to come out the other side, and I'm going to do everything I can to fight for him and help him and help him come out the other side. We've taken steps to mitigate risk. So, for example, I'm a trustee now.
Okay.
And what that means is Takahiro and myself, Mr. Okada has no management control or economic benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And Takahiro and myself, we run the company.
Okay.
And so we do have to take pragmatic steps, but we believe in the end of the day, Mr. Okada, you know, he couldn't say more forcefully how he believes that he's been wronged here, and he's going to prove it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One more question on the growth of your company. What I've seen this year from just several different manufacturers is that everybody is trying to be a full service, all things to everybody, end to end supplier. What do you think of that as a goal? As far as, you know, we're going to have systems, we're going to have table games, we're going to have reel spinning, we're going to have video, you know, everything to everybody. It seems to be a trend this year, and I don't know if you've noticed it or if you're planning on becoming part of it.
We're not planning on becoming part of it, but it's a natural outgrowth, I think, of when you're a publicly traded company. There's a lot of pressure on you to continue to grow. And to continue to grow, usually once you've achieved all jurisdictions, you'll find new revenue streams. I don't think it'll be successful. I don't think systems are successful. In fact, if systems was a vibrant, awesome business, there'd be real companies like Microsoft involved, but they're not because they don't perceive economic benefit. So then what happens is, historically, companies like IGT and Bally's created systems as a way to integrate into their customers' profile to sort of leverage, perhaps get more purchases, create recurring revenue fees. They still weren't that profitable. And so I think it's a normal extension of a business strategy that I think is going to be, some people have more success, some people have slightly less success. You also see a lot of consolidation, right? Because it's really, you got G-Tech and you got Cygames and you got everybody else fighting, although Aristocrat would say they should be right there as well. Maybe they should. But from where we sit, we don't worry about what they're doing. They're going to copy us, even though we're not the largest. You're going to see the two-year guarantee come out in various forms and fashion. You're going to see them being upset that we're saying we're going to support hardware for at least 6 years. And then what we're going to focus on is the things that we think we can do really well. And what we think we can do really well is competing in the ETG table space, competing in the traditional real space like what you're talking about, and then competing in economic models that serve where there's inefficiencies in the market. So where they're saying you can only lease from us this type of product, we're saying we'll sell to you. And we think by doing that, we're going to grow. Mm-hmm. Plus, we have a lot of jurisdictions still to get to.
Okay. Any ideas to sell content onto like iGaming sites or things of that nature?
You know what? It's one of the things that was absent when I came to Aruze. Mm-hmm. We've signed $7 million in recurring contracts in the last 4 months. Okay. So we think it's a big growth space, mm-hmm. Both through third-party sites and then eventually our own. So okay. we embrace that.
And you could also put your content on handheld devices inside casinos and things of that nature.
Yeah. At the end of the day, what I believe, you know, you have to get a belief pattern. Some people think, does this cannibalize that? I believe that it grows it. I believe exposure to a product probably makes you more likely to play in a land-based casino. We're all in on the technology. Social and for-profit in Europe and in markets where it's legal, we're going to participate.
Great. Eric, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, taking the time on a busy G2E day, and good luck up there. We'll come see it, and I'm sure we'll be impressed.
I appreciate it. Thanks for your help. Thanks for your support.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the GGV Podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. To learn more about the gaming industry, visit ggbmagazine.com, or for a weekly update, visit ggbnews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, or on LinkedIn and Facebook at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.